Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The Auburn Soccer Complex time is 9:14 p.m. Your audio listening device is tuned into Orange and True. I'm your host, Ryan Starrett, on Twitter at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for, I believe, 16th in the league in scoring this week. And I still won. Pretty happy with that one. Talking about Fantasy Premier League, of course, of which I'm an expert. I don't lose. It's great. I am your host again tonight, as Crow is still doing dad stuff. So on one side, I have the master of the league. What's your title in this Fantasy Premier League, Chief? Is it president? Is it the fearless leader? What do you have?
Was it the chancellor? Director?
Chancellor Chief. You can go with a little alliteration there. Yeah, we'll go with chancellor.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the actual... like title of the person that chief executive. There we go.
Are you chief executive chief?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Got to double up there.
Yeah.
Well, this week I'm looking to go 2-0. This is all we're talking about tonight.
This is our
I can't lose in.
This is our new podcast.
Regular
one is on hiatus at the moment. This is just a Fantasy Premier League podcast.
Next week, I'm going up against a friend of the program from last week, James Jones. Chief, I know I know everything about this fantasy soccer thing, but our listeners may not. So why don't you maybe help James out? I'm sure he might need a little help this week.
Well, I can tell James he should probably drop both of the Everton players he has, because that just seems like insanity to me. Although in his defense, one of the ones he had, which is first on his bench, was not an Everton player when he picked him. He played for Wolves. We just signed him this week. That's Connor Cody.
Commander Cody?
No, Connor Cody, but we could call him Commander Cody. That'd be pretty funny. I don't know if the Scousers are real hip to the Clone Wars, but yeah. I mean, what are you doing, James? Come on. And then he's got Philip Lolly. I think is that your third mid, James? Is that who you got third on your bench? He's a bit old, I think, but you know, whatever. You know what?
Does he have any chance? I mean,
oh, definitely not. Not against you. He
hasn't won a game all year.
I know you have.
Yeah.
Just kind of roll in here. Just a phenom, regular savant with your 44 points or whatever it was. 45? No, 44.
7th or 16th most. Chief, 16th. But well, there's a one in the win column.
This isn't a points league. You just got to beat the man in front
of you. Just like this Auburn football program, I'm going 1-0 every day.
There you go. You got to take a 1-0 attitude into every week. But so does James, because he's in the losing column. You know what? I almost took one this week, too. It's a very narrow win for myself. We're all talking about this now. You can probably expect at least one small segment like this, because we convinced Ryan to play Fantasy Premier League. For those of you listening that have never played, it's more akin to NASCAR fantasy than like American football fantasy, because you have like a pool of money and you can buy. Everyone can have the same players. Theoretically, everyone could have the same team, but that wouldn't be fun. Ryan's out here flying blind because he doesn't know any of these players.
And I still won.
You did. You did. Yeah.
Another soccer league started off this week. Auburn Soccer got their preseason exhibitions underway, as I call them, and I was quickly corrected that they're
friendlies.
Yeah, not
friendlies, Ryan. Please.
You need to tell whoever runs the website that as well.
Well, they're probably not very not knowledgeable, hip to the lingo.
They don't listen to our podcast, is probably why.
Yeah. No, they're not getting the hard-hitting facts.
Auburn faced Georgia Southern last night and this morning, thanks to a little bit of a lightning and then eventually rain delay.
Yeah, we had a real nasty one roll up in here last night.
I was kind of mocking it because it, when they called it for the lightning delay, it was just like the baseball game, original, where it was lightning that not really dark and cloudy or anything, or looking like a rain. Eventually it did get a little nasty last night.
It was I was giving my son's a bath last night, and it was like rattling the tub. The thunder was pretty crazy. And I thought it was all going to be a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing, but it did. It came in a right storm there for a little bit. Yeah. This has been your weather segment on the Georgia Drew podcast.
Yeah, it's a spoiler. It's August in Auburn. It's hot and
it might rain.
Thunderstorms roll through and it's muggy. All my fault. But just like the end of last year, Anna Haddock got off to a pretty good start in this one. Two of those first period goals, not half period. They played 3 30-minute segments. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just two absolute cannons from the top of the penalty box. She's awesome. She's going to be a star in the SEC this year. And I think we have another exhibition on Saturday at Memphis, and then they'll get the season underway in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I want everybody to know that Ryan's not just he's not just rattling this stuff off for the pod. He was texting about how great Anna Haddock is going to be this year. So last night. Yeah. So he's into it, guys. You should be into it too.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about, it seems like every school year there's one Auburn program that kind of pops off, captures everybody's hearts. And we had baseball and basketball last year. Lucky with those. But
I think the unfortunate thing for Auburn soccer is that we talk about them too much. And
I think that's it. They're overexposed. I mean, everybody's face right now.
Yeah, it's the curse. Anytime we talk about it, specifically anytime we talk about a women's sport on this podcast, more than just in passing manner, they tend to just tank after that.
We just need to be sure that Crow isn't writing anything about it.
Well, that's true.
Talking about it.
Yeah. Comparing them to.
He did it to Auburn Soccer.
Clay Thompson? Or?
He did that as well, yes. if our soccer team looks like Clay Thompson, playing Crow for that.
We can. That could lead us into something later. We can maybe a brief mention of old Clay Thompson later in our next segment.
Let's go ahead and take a commercial though before we get into basketball. We'll do an early one.
This week. Did you have times for that Memphis exhibition?
I do not. It's an away one, so I didn't have the time written down.
Will it won't be viewable anywhere? Will it?
That is a great question.
I mean, sorry to put you on the spot. I just didn't know. I don't know if they do these on. Do they broadcast these on the AU network? Do we have any exhibitions? Probably not.
I don't think so. Yeah, and it looks like it's not on TV anywhere.
Okay. All right. Well.
But hey, if you live in the Memphis area, go cheer them on.
Yeah.
I don't know how popular we are in Memphis.
Shout out to Emily from Germantown.
All right. Well. With that shout out, let's take it to the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And at 9:15, we're back. All right, Chief, let's talk some basketball.
We talked
about the first game last week against what we later found out wasn't so much a U-20 team and was actually like a U-18 team.
Yeah, it was a very young team.
Yeah, and it looked like it, obviously.
I saw one
comment about this is what it looks like when Dylan Cardwell plays against high schoolers.
Yeah, we crushed that team. It embarrassed them.
And then in the next game wasn't until Sunday, kind of a gap in between. But then they took on the All-Star Select team, won that game 107-71. So a little more competitive, but.
Yeah, still, it was. I mean, you could tell older guys. You could also tell that team they were playing against didn't really play together. Like, they weren't like a very cohesive team. We had the advantage there, even if they were older guys. And I assume, like, it was weird. They had like one guy that was like 19, and I assume they were all professionals. It was really hard to get a read on exactly what that team was made up of.
I assumed it was mostly guys from whatever the Israeli national league is.
Yeah.
Not like an all-star team from that.
But right.
I think it was kind of fast and loose with the rules of who could be on that team.
Yeah. Well, it's good exposure for our guys. Good experience. Yeah. I mean, if you've ever played a sport, it's way more fun during these conditioning type periods to actually play someone else rather than just run and play against yourself. So, these are guys they've never played against before and probably won't play against again, unless of course they end up overseas. So, that could always happen.
When we start the Auburn national team, we may face off with them.
Right. You mean that's not war ready? like this game, I mean, all the games, I'm already in love with this team. Like, they are, they look so good. Just looking at them, they're still raw. They still can't really shoot. But man, they are fun to watch. And there's a lot of high energy guys on the team. There's a lot of just dudes that can do things that are just fun to watch. Like, they're athletic. We've got so many guys that can just get in the paint and score too, which is like
hilarious after it felt like we didn't have that.
Yeah. The opposite of what we've had before.
This team feels like it's almost made up exclusively of the guys that you hate fun of. Right? Like the one that sticks out for me, like in the past in the SEC, like Chris Silva, South Carolina.
Sure.
Like, he may not have been the best player, but you never wanted to play against him. It was always so annoying. But he was really good.
Probably going to get a double-double. He was a great player.
Right.
Not NBA. Not going to go to the NBA and light it up or anything. But he was really good.
He was going to light you up, though.
Awful to play against. Just terrible. Right. To play against.
And that might be like half this roster, especially the front court. Jani Broome. Coming out of the mid-majors at Moorhead, but looks like the most polished is the word.
He's very polished.
He looks like he's a 23-year-old playing professional basketball.
Well, to me, he looks like he feels a lot like the dude that played at Kentucky last year that I guess is going to be there again this year. I mean, it just he's not getting 20 rebounds a game, but just from a like standpoint of, oh, this guy's, I mean, he's like you said, polished, he's experienced, doesn't look like anything's really going to rattle him. can defend.
He has this all-star select team, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 7 steals. That's awesome. And then Monday against the national team, 18 points, 11 rebounds, 4 steals.
I mean, just crazy. I just really enjoyed his game. He's pretty much your typical or your what you think of when you think of a post player. Like that's his game. Like he's just he's in there banging around inside, causing havoc against anybody that comes down there, grabbing rebounds. I saw a lot of times he's not getting a rebound, like he's not getting credit for a rebound, but he's tapped one out to other people. I saw him do that a lot.
He's always seems like he's in the right place.
Yeah. And I really like seeing that. Not that post play was our weak link last year or anything. It's just this is a different flavor than what we had last year.
Yeah, I mean I don't think anybody's expecting Jahni Broome to be a lottery pick
right
summer. But he's the kind of players that you can win in the SEC with.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's not going to be alone in the front court. And the guy that might become a lottery pick, Yoan Traore, 20 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists in the All-Star Select game. And that's on 8 of 10 from 2.
Yeah.
That's the kind of efficiency that we have. We didn't get with Jabari last year, despite him being one of the best shooters we've ever seen. We didn't get a whole lot of 8 of 10s. And just...
Well, that's because a lot of Traore's are, in the paint. Like a lot.
It's not a lot of dunks, though. I mean, there's some of that, right? But I mean, he has the post moves to get a good look.
Yeah.
From 5 feet, from 10 feet.
Well, yeah, he wasn't 8 of 10 from the elbow.
Sure.
That's what we lacked inside scoring last year. Like we had Walker that could score inside and he was mostly putbacks and oops and everybody like nobody else could really score inside. So
this team's gonna have 4 guys inside. And I honestly I don't know if you could pair any 2 of them together that wouldn't work. I mean, Dylan being the true 5 of the group, right? But
I don't know, man. He's working on that 3.
Well, he doesn't need to ruin his perfect record.
Well, I thought he took one more. I thought he's now 500. I thought he did.
Still, 50% for a 7-footer.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You could put him at 4. It just depends. I don't think we're going to see him at 4. I think you're right about it.
No, but my point is, any of those other 3 guys, Broome, Traore, and Jalen Williams, you could play any of them together or one of them.
Right.
It's going to be an extremely flexible. I don't think anybody's going to be taking 30 minutes at those positions this year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could see all those dudes just playing 20 minutes spread out around. Dylan's. I don't know. I felt like he wasn't doing as much dumb fouling as he has.
No, and he looks like he's. I don't know. I hate to like sit here and talk about college athletes. In shapeness, but he looks like he's more. It's very better conditioning.
He's very a little lighter on his feet. Svelte. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm sure the Hebrews have a word for it that sounds pretty cool. Since they're in Israel, but I don't know it. Svelte. It's probably Hebrew. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, he looked great. It was really great to see. He was
becoming like a leader on this team too. Emotional shots. Like He was, you know, the one that did the interview with Jay Bayless this week.
Yeah. He's very spiritual.
Yeah. Very spiritual young man. I do love it though, as the high energy guy also being the captain, maybe.
Yeah. The Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of the team. There you go. I mean, I really liked how they all seemed to really take this seriously. Like there was nobody loafing out there. And nobody acting like this was, you know, team camp where you don't like, they all wanted to just win. Right. Even when they're up like, you know, 20 points, 30 points, they're still out there.
Yeah. J.D. Johnson yelling at a basketball the fourth quarter of a game, they're up 30 and.
You know, when he got that tech, I swear I thought he was yelling at his own teammate. Like, he appeared to be mad, and I can't remember who it is now, but he was seemed to be like fussing at him, not saying anything to anyone else, and the ref just teed him up. I was like, okay.
Could have been a language barrier. You never know.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure he was. I'm sure language may have had something to do with it. that as I said, that level of seriousness that the guys had was really good to see. I mean, I think it's pretty clear these guys are know that they really messed up this last year. Like they really let themselves down. And I think they're going to be on a mission this year. I kept, you know, sort of jokingly saying on Twitter that we were going to win everything, but this team is like legitimately like 10 dudes deep, 10 interchangeable dudes deep. And, you know, we may not talent wise have the highs that Kentucky has, but I guarantee you we have, way more dudes on that bench that can come in and perform to the same level as the guys that are going to be starting than they do. And that's going to be, that's key during the season. You know, it might not help you as much in the tournament. I don't think it hurts you. But I think the sky's the limit for this team. Just judging by what we've got, because we've got, you know, the Brooms, we've got Zepp coming back, these experienced guys. I mean, all the guys that were on the team last year are now veterans. Most of them are sophomores or juniors now, right? Juniors.
If we want to draw some parallels to another beloved Auburn basketball team, this team has a senior guard who's probably going to play a decent amount of two this year. This team has had something here and I totally lost it. Anyways, this team feels like a lot of what we went into going into the 2018-19 Final Four.
Yeah, I think the question...
There was some disappointment in the tournament in the second round of the year before.
Yeah. I think the question mark still for this team is, can they shoot well enough to win?
That's my biggest question. And we started to see that, really the whole weekend. But in the second game, I think they were like 20-25%.
Not great.
The national team. Yeah.
It's a different ball, some of that to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, different ball. There's, you know, slightly different rules. We saw Zepp take a shot clock violation at 24 seconds instead of 30 like college has. Yeah. It's just little things like that where you can probably explain it away pretty easily if you want to. But after what we saw last year, that is, it's an area of concern for me until it's proven otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, now, as I mentioned earlier, we could be extremely efficient from two, and I mean, that's fine. if we are very, very efficient from two, then okay. If we're not that good from three, as long as we're not bad from three and still taking a million threes, I think we're okay. But you know, being able to hit threes ensures that you can win.
You guys to shoot.
Yeah. 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 It clears out that middle, especially, you know, I think that's what helped us last year is we had Jabari that didn't need to get into the lane to score. And so, you know, that helped us a lot. And then you had Kessler inside cleaning up. It made up for not being able to hit threes. Now, if all we have is post play and everybody can just, you know, pile bodies in the lane, then that could be an issue still. Because then you aren't efficient from two anymore. So that's the whole thing. You know, we've got a couple months to figure it out.
Opening night for the season is three months away. So.
Right.
We've got plenty of time to go back to all and continue to work on things.
On your shots. I mean, you know, you're coming up on time. They can't practice anymore either. So it's going to be a lot of just shooting and scrimmaging each other, playing each other.
These games are good though. I mean, they're a good team building exercise.
Even
with Italy went on to the Final Four, you become a lot stronger. A program with things like this.
I'm really glad that we played the national team and played them really well for most of that game. Like it was close for a lot of.
Yeah, I mean a 9-point game that was like a 1-point game at the end of the third. I mean,
that was
a great effort.
And it was clear we were tired. We just played a full game the night before. I think there was
it was the guard really that Auburn had just no solid answer for.
Yeah.
Track with the tired legs of two guards, NBA guys. Then you have Dija with 25, 7 and 6, and then Ramadar, who was a second round pick from the Celtics, but still playing in Serbia, I believe, 24-7-7. So, I mean, you give up 50 points and 14 rebounds, 13 to two guys, you're going to have a hard time winning.
Yeah, it's kind of that's tough. I saw, I know there's some questions about why the schedule ended up the way it was, why we played those two back-to-back. I think it's as simple as these were all played at night, and Israel being a Jewish country, like Friday night, like after sundown, you're not doing anything. And then Saturday, you're not doing anything. So that's why it ended up being Sunday, Monday. They could have done Tuesday, Thursday, Monday. That could have worked, I guess. But, I think
it's not bad to face adversity in a situation like this, though.
Yeah. I think that Bruce was like, we'll play two. Yeah. I mean, because that's what you do when you go to team camp, and that's essentially what this is like your team camp when you're in high school. You go and you play, I don't know, 20 games over, 5 days, 4 or 5 days when you're playing at team camp. So, this is good for conditioning. It's good. I mean, you're going to be playing games where you have no legs, especially if you're in the tournament. It's just good experience, and I don't think there's really a problem with it. It doesn't hurt our reputation that we lost to a national team of grown men. Like,
I think they said the Israeli team is like 46th in whatever the rating is for national teams. So. Auburn like around a top 50 country.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Does this get us ranked at this point?
In the top 50.
This should tell you. That should also tell you about the just sheer talent of basketball talent there is in America. It's incredible.
And as Bruce Pearl's found out, especially in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
So. One guy we haven't talked about, but I think a lot of people have, Chance Westry.
Oh, what did you think
about him? As a wing, as maybe a point guard. I think we saw a decent amount of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just going to be the utility guard. I think they're going to want to get him on the floor. The only thing that I saw with him, and it's a young guy thing, is he just could not stop fouling.
He grabs a lot too. And yeah. It was funny because I think, and this is where we need Crow, the FIBA rules for a reach it's a technical essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. If you grab a guy, it's a, unsportsmanlike foul.
It's a yellow card.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. Like that would just be called a professional foul in football. Like, because they called it on him one time, and the guy wasn't going to score. It's a thing that he probably got away with a ton in high school. Because high school refs are just low wage like dudes. Like they're not like it's not like they're making a ton of money to be great. Not much different than college refs. I'm sure he could get away with some of that stuff in high school and not even get called for a foul. That's something you work on. This gives him it's great. They now have tape on these guys playing real games, which is not something you always have in college basketball. Cause I think you can only do these trips like once every 3 years. Is that the rule?
Every four, I believe. I imagine Bruce would have wanted to do this last year had it not been a COVID issue.
Right.
It's been 5 years since the Italy trip.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this was supposed to happen last. I think this was supposed to happen last year. And of course it didn't. But yeah, Chance, I mean, dude, the dude is the hype. For those of you that don't know, and I don't know how much we've actually talked about it on the pod, Crow is like big hyped on Mr. Westry.
He's been big since he signed.
Yeah. I think it's justified. The kid looks great. And he's raw still. He could be one and done. Like he could end up coming off the bench all year and still be one and done. Like the dude's that good. He's got some things to work on over the next 3 months, but I didn't see anything that he couldn't figure out. I would not be surprised if he did stay in foul trouble. That could happen, especially early on as he adjusts to the pace of the game.
Yeah, for young guards, it's pretty easy to fall into that trap.
But, that's the funny thing. He's not somebody we just have to have. Like, we've got good guards outside of him. We'll see. He's definitely, I could see him starting. I could. And
if you had to draft a starting five, your first game's tomorrow, and it's not a must win game, but just who are your starting five going to be against George Mason on?
I don't know that that's fair because I don't even know if Bruce could do that right now. In a way, it's just an embarrassment of riches. Like, how do you decide? You've got to work out the rotation. That's going to be.
I think Wendell is your starting point. We'll start there.
Yeah, yeah. Wendell's your starting point guard. I mean,
he had a couple plays in every single one of these games where he just looked fantastic, and it wasn't even with him scoring. He had in the, I believe it was against the national team, one possession where he drove down, had a little hezzy move in the paint, and then dished out the zip. Got three.
Yeah.
And then later in the game had that exact same move into the paint and step back and just kind of floated a two in himself.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that he looked out of control trying to do last year and looked very much in control of himself.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that. He looked a lot better. That last game when he was pretty tired.
Again, it's going against guys that Are either in the NBA or have been recently drafted by an NBA team. So,
He did fire up a last shot at one point too, and I was like, oh, here we go again.
Hey, as long as he's not taking shot clock violations.
We were down by like seven at that point, so yeah. I wasn't like we did need a three, so it was like 30 seconds left. I don't know. But yeah, no, he looked better. He didn't have a whole lot of trouble driving in on these guys and getting to the rim himself either, which was cool. But yeah, I think he's probably your starting point guard, or almost definitely. Zepp started last year and Zepp's back, so I don't know what they're gonna do with Zepp.
It looks like he's gonna be playing a lot more off ball than he did last year.
Yeah, which is interesting. He's a defensive specialist. Like if they've got a guy, if you're playing a team that you've got a guy that just needs to be locked down, he's in there.
So if you're F Zepp on the bench, are you starting Katie Johnson to the two?
For now, yeah. Yeah, I think you're starting him.
He's an extremely valuable asset. Actually was one of the few guys that shot well from three this week.
Yes.
He was like 40% in the last two games.
Yeah. The only thing I can see with KD is he would be just the ultimate energy dude off the bench.
Right.
Still play 20 minutes a game.
If you have Zepp and KD coming off the bench together, that is just a nasty lockdown defense.
Yeah, you're in trouble. And I guess if he's not starting at the two, I'm starting Westry at the two.
That's going to be fun.
Because I'd like to start him at the three, but I think Flan's starting. Like Flan looked better this weekend or this week, I guess.
Yeah. He still wasn't putting up a ton of points. But he looked like he had the bounce that he didn't have last year, or at least confidence.
Look more confident. That's what I'd say. I don't know from a technical standpoint if he actually performed all that much better than we saw. He didn't have as many turnovers as we saw him have, especially late in this year.
He wasn't making the mind-scratching kind of plays. That was like an extremely obvious travel. What are you doing?
Ball
away. Didn't really have to do that.
And I mean, he's a great defender himself. He
looked pretty good against any of in the game.
Yeah.
He as good as anybody else played against him.
I think you have to start Flan unless you have a Westry that somehow takes a step forward and is not fouling. He could start at the two and have KD coming off the bench. I think right now your starting five would be the guys that were here last year. So Wynn at one, KD at two, Flan at three. But then I think you go Traore and Broom in the paint.
I don't know if you can not start those two guys. They were both incredible.
Maybe
going up against Colin Castleton and you need somebody a little bigger in the paint,
sure.
Bring Cardwell there to start.
Well, but also, I think that kind of works out well because you have KD in the lineup as your energy man in the starting lineup, and then you've got Cardwell coming off the bench as your energy guy. Just like last year, I guess, really. That's good. It's good to have those two separate, although they'd probably be playing on the floor at the same time. Some, I know that, but, I think it's hard to say cause Cardwell, I thought Cardwell had a great week. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't think he's going to be a problem if he's not starting. So, I think that's...
I don't think that's really an issue for any of these guys. I mean,
yeah,
don't know them personally, obviously, but this seemed like
a very cohesive group.
I mean, there's guys that are veterans that aren't going to be starting or even playing a ton that seemed like they're still very engaged in leading this team. Like Chris Moore, you know, didn't even play in 10 games last year. But you can tell in almost every game, you know, he's helped getting these guys ready. He's communicating what's going on.
I really think fans put a lot more emphasis on starter versus bench than players do now, because guys are the way I think it's important to guys that are on a team with like a 7-man rotation. I think you want to be the starter on those teams.
Kentucky.
Yes. I think it means more for Auburn. For a while now, I don't think it really matters. Like, and I, you know, there was a Kentucky player that was coming off the bench that got drafted this year, right? There's been dudes in the last 10 years. There's been dudes at some high profile programs, North Carolina, I want to say, and Duke, that were on the bench.
Tari Eason was sixth man of the year in the SEC.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pick first round.
So I think guys see that. They see, I don't have to start, especially as a freshman. I just have to make the most of the minutes that I have. And then, you know, because it's not like it used to be. College basketball is not, you know, guys stay 3 years. 3 to 4 years, and it's a proving ground for the next level. It's you've got to go there because they say you have to go there. We don't care if you even play, kind of thing. Because we're evaluating you on your measurables more than anything, and you know, we've been watching you play AAU ball since you were, you know, 12. And we have all this data on you from that. We know what you need to work on already. Sure, you might work on it a little more at the college level. You might be a Tari Eason and be the sixth man and excellent defender. And it's about more than just your playing time in college. I'd say that's way down on the list of things that any NBA scout or GM cares about. And
play less and be fresher.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think guys know that now. And so they're willing to come and Bruce. I mean, I know that in their recruiting pitches, to these guys, Bruce like lays out a plan. Here's what I want to, you know, here's how many minutes I want to play you. This is how I'm going to use you. That's how you are going to be used is more important than even how many minutes you play. Definitely more important than am I starting? Starting's cool. I'm sure everybody wants to start because everybody wants to play as much as they can. But Bruce has proven over the years that he's good at these rotations and dudes just get minutes. Wynn came off the bench, but he played starter minutes last year, for instance. There were several guys that played what you might consider starter minutes.
Joe DeLeach played 25 minutes game last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, Auburn has proven that you can do that here. It does keep you from burning out. And if you're a confident guy and you think, well, I'm going to play 25 minutes, then you think, oh, I'll score 20 points in 25 minutes. And I don't think there's anybody on Auburn's team that's not confident.
So 3 months out till the season, I guess we got to do a little thing called football season before then.
What?
I don't know. That big open field next to the basketball arena. They do another sport there.
I thought that was for the band.
Well, as a big lacrosse guy, I'm sure you know that they play there as well.
Yeah. Do they?
Don't have a lacrosse team.
Oh, I mean, I figure we have a club team. There's some club or lacrosse guy listening to this right now. That tears the end of his listenership.
We have had one lacrosse interaction on the show before.
Oh, I know.
We won't repeat.
I know. That was it. You just ticked that guy off.
Made it all the way to 201 before we.
I know.
Got him out of here. Fall camp started last week. Look, none of us were there. We're not going to pretend to break it down for you. Talk about message board rumors and anything like that. I think I have in my heart decided who I want to be the quarterback. And again, obviously without seeing any of this, but there's only one guy that can really do it. And I think he,
Cord Sandberg.
Yeah, actually you're in my mind, Chief.
Knew it.
My man.
Just had a kid.
I think it's Cord Sandberg time.
Congrats, Cord. He did. He just had a kid.
I was about to say he.
Better half. Cornered. Mrs. Sandberg. Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got on it. If I had a
hard-hitting news, aren't true here. Can't get us anywhere else.
If I had a soundboard right now when you started talking about this particular subject, I would have. Would have played Tommy Lee Jones from The Fugitive.
Yeah. You have that one just queued up, ready to go? Is that?
Well, I would if I had a soundboard. I don't have a soundboard. So, Ryan, have you ever seen The Fugitive?
I have not.
Jesus.
I know Tommy Lee Jones from Men in Black.
I mean, that was around the same time. It's like maybe 2 years after The Fugitive. Starring Han Solo, Harrison Ford. Man, the one-armed man? You don't know anything about this? The Fugitive, Ryan, was a movie starring Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford that was based on a television show from the 70s, I want to say. It actually had a sequel called U.S. Marshal starring not Tommy Lee Jones or Harrison Ford, to my knowledge, but Wesley Snipes. How about that? Ryan, Wesley Snipes was a actor, an action movie star.
He's a vampire, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, vampire hunter. Actually, he's a daywalker.
Also a vampire? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a daywalker. He's half vampire. His mother was bitten while he was about to be born, so only half of the vampire traits went to him. He does have a thirst for blood. But his dude, Whistler,
learning that's how genetics work.
You
do little Punnett squares, and it's like if it's like halfway through birth, then it changes. Yeah. You get bitten by a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. I hope they covered that over in those fancy Atlanta area schools.
Not Atlanta public schools, fortunately.
Well, you're probably not good at basketball.
Can attest to that. No, I'm good at golf. That's. OTP.
Yeah. It's very very OTP, very Marietta of you.
It's pronounced Marietta.
Marietta. Yeah. It's where Six Flags is, for those of you that don't know.
It is not.
Well, sort of. Yeah, Six Flags Whitewater right there. It's like, yeah.
No, Marietta's on the north side of town. That's like under the Bray Stadium. Six Flags is out 20 towards Birmingham.
What?
Go look at a map, Chief.
All right, whatever. We always got off at Marietta when I was. I haven't been to either one of those since I was 14. So, sue me.